Well, we will be in Deuteronomy chapter 8 through chapter 29 this morning, and if you are here, don't worry about it. We're not going to read the whole thing. We'll give you a break on that, but if you'd like to have your Bible open, we will be going to different spots during the message. I'm going to go ahead and pray, but what I failed to do is... During our prayer time, I failed to mention that Tim Huffman was back in the hospital. That is Sarah Schneider's father. Tim and Kathy come. He's in a wheelchair, and they do not know what's wrong. He texted me Friday night and told me he'd been in since last Saturday. So my plan is to go this afternoon to visit, hopefully find out more. And also, I failed to mention the mothers who are expecting babies. And I can't get away from doing that because there are one or two or three of them here today. So Zach and Nicole Bell are due in May. Bobby and Becca Anderson are due in June. Jonathan, Abigail Harrington, Kirsten, they live in Illinois. They're due in June. And Brandon and Anna Chandler are due in September. So I know, Anna, I just embarrassed you, but that's okay. We want you to pray for the mothers and for the health of the babies as well. So let's pray. Lord, as we approach your throne today, we thank you for these families. We thank you for the mothers and babies. We ask that you'll protect them, that you'll keep them safe and keep them healthy, and that the deliveries will go well and the babies will be well also. We also pray for Tim and Kathy and their family as Tim sits in the hospital trying to figure out what the problem is. We ask that you'll give the doctors and the nurses wisdom. We also pray that you'll be with Tim and Kathy and help them to know that they are prayed for and that they are loved. Now as we come to your word, I ask that you might help us to understand it, help us to grow from it, and even though it is an Old Testament passage that sometimes we write off, there's a lot here in Moses' message to his people. So I pray that you'll help us to glean the truth out of here and understand it. And then I pray that as I bring the message today, that you will help me to step aside and that we might focus simply on Jesus and what he's done for us. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Back in October of 2003, Alan Jackson recorded a song which described the relationship with his wife and how they made it together through a tough time. The report had been that he had just stepped out on his wife and they had actually filed for divorce. But I was glad to hear that they backed away from that and they decided to make things work. He wrote a song. And it was called Remember When. And as I came with the title of the message, I thought of that song, Remember When, and so I looked for the lyrics. I'd like to give you those lyrics real quickly as we go through. Remember when I was young and so were you, and time stood still and love was all we knew. You were the first and so was I, we made love and then you cried. Remember when? Remember when we vowed the vows and we walked the walk, gave our hearts, made the start, and it was hard. We lived and learned, life through curves, there was joy, there was hurt. Remember when? Remember when old ones died and new ones were born, and life was changed, disassembled, and rearranged. We came together, we fell apart, and broke each other's hearts. Remember when? Remember when the sound of little feet was the music we danced to week, brought back to love, we found trust, vowed we'd never give it up, remember when? Remember when 30 seemed so old, yeah, now looking back, it's just a stepping stone to where we are, where we've been, said we'd do it all again, remember when? Remember when we said when we turn gray, when the children grow up and move away, we won't be sad, we'll be glad for all the life we've had, and we'll remember when. Remember when? Remember when? Now, some of you can come out of your stupor now that I have used a country song because most of you know that I love rock and roll. And so I repented of my sin and got away from it. No. I think one of the hardest diseases that we deal with, and there's a reason for using that song, one of the hardest diseases we deal with is the loss of memory. Dementia and Alzheimer's. That is not taking away from cancer or ALS or MS or any other disease that takes a life. But during 2024, I wanted to understand a little bit more about this disease that I seem to be hearing more and more and more about, and that's dementia or Alzheimer's. And I also know that I may very well become a victim of it. We all might. Who knows? But I read three books that were really eye-opening books, and I want to tell you just about those books just to show you what I read. One of them was called Memorable Loss by Karen Martin. She lives in the UK, and this book is a very personal journey for her because she befriended an old teacher friend of hers, and then as she befriended her, she watched her succumb to dementia and then ultimately Alzheimer's. The other two were by medical doctors. Now you're going, medical doctors, how did you read that one? Because they were so simple, they were simple. Those are the kind that I have to read. I can't read medical journals. But anyway, one of them was Finding Grace in the Face of Dementia by Dr. John Dunlop. And the unique thing about this is he told his colleagues that he wanted to write this book before it became an autobiography, because he has been diagnosed with a strong genetic disposition to dementia. This was an exceptional book. And the other one was called Second Forgetting, and it's Remembering the Power of the Gospel During Alzheimer's Disease. And it was also by medical doctor, Dr. Benjamin Mast. Now, I don't mean to bore you with lyrics of a song or books that I read, but I want to say this. Remembering is part of life. And that is one of the tragic side effects of dementia or Alzheimer's, is forgetting. The disease causes us to forget who we are, what we do, and what's important to us, especially to our hearts. It makes us forget the people around us. Moses knew God's people would be forgetful people. That we could say Moses knew that his people would get dementia. That they would forget everything that God had done for them. And so from Deuteronomy chapter 8 all the way through chapter 29, we're going to take a trip down memory lane with Moses. And we're going to take a look at two specific things, though, because this whole chapter, the whole book, is Moses' walk from the very beginning to the very end. And he's going down memory lane trying to remember and remind the people of Israel, this is what God has done for you. This is what you have promised. Keep your promise. So let's move on, and let's first of all talk about remembering God's call to obey. Now, it's not unusual for a father or a mother to say to a child when they get ready to go off to work for the first time, or maybe when they're getting ready to drive solo for the first time, remember who you are representing. Remember who you are representing. When I was a teenager, it was the night before I was going to take my driver's test. And the power went out in the house. Well, we lived about a quarter of a mile from the Golf Country Club, where I actually caddied for 3 summers, and we noticed the lights of the emergency vehicles down there. So my dad and I walked down there, and when we got to hole number 11, we realized or found out the cause of the outage. A car had hit a telephone pole and it severed the car. We also found out the answer for the split car. It was alcohol. And as we talked about it on the way back, my dad told me the reason he was letting me drive sooner than he planned. Driving at 16 was never on the table with my dad. Never. In fact, driving at 17, I was a senior in high school. I had just turned 17 when I was taking my driver's test. My dad's original plan was you'll drive when you're 18 and not till then. You know how embarrassing it is to go to college, be a freshman in college, and still not know how to drive? But fortunately, he let me drive early. But he told me why. He told me, he said, he felt that he could trust me not to do what that driver had just done. He trusted me to keep the Grandy name unsullied, but also to keep myself out of the hospital or the morgue because of alcohol. Plain and simple, he wanted me to remember who I was and to whom I belonged. As you read Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I hope that you have your Bible open there, it begins this way: be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to your ancestors. Now, what's the first word of verse 2? Remember. So what Moses is wanting his people to do is to remember. And then he goes on and he talks about the lessons that God has taught them. And you move down to verse 11 to 14, and Moses tells them, God has given you this, God has given you this, God has given you this, God has given you this. Don't forget it. He knew that the Israelites would be susceptible to the pull of idols and the culture of the people around them. And their best defense was to remember to whom they belonged. Their best defense was to remember all that God had done for them. And so Moses is telling them, remember this. One of the verses that's at the very bottom, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart. Remember God's call upon you. Remember his call to obey. Here's the truth. Blindness is bad. Spiritual blindness is worse. Sin blinds us to reality. Blindness is bad. Spiritual blindness is worse, but sin blinds us to reality. So what's the cure? Well, first, we've already talked about it, you remember to whom you belong. Remember that you're supposed to obey and do what God says to do. You remember. The second thing is you remember God's call to worship. Let's begin by reading the first part or first verse of chapter 12. So skip over to chapter 12 if you would. And we're going to do a lot of this. We're going to be skipping a lot of chapters because a lot of it is like makes your head spin. Verse 1 says, these are the decrees and regulations you must be careful to obey when you live in the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must obey them as long as you live. When you drive out the nations. Now, here's what hit me as I studied that. The word that's used there is what? When, not if. So God was telling them, expect to drive them out. How are you going to do that? Because my power is going to be with you. You see, that's the whole point, is that God was saying, I want you to do this, but I'm not going to let you do this alone. Same thing he says to us. I want you to win. I want you to fight. I want you to defeat Satan, but you're not going to have to do this alone. And there was no doubt about what God expected his people to do, and there were no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He says, when you do this. But notice what else happens, though, because he says, when you drive out the nations that live there, you must destroy all the places where they worship their gods, high on the mountains, up on the hills, under every green tree, break down the altars, smash down their pillars, burn their Asher poles, cut down their carved idols. Watch this. Completely erase the names of their gods. So what was God saying to do? Let them come in? Was he saying, oh, go ahead and tolerate them? What he was really saying was, wipe it out. destroy it, get rid of all the idols that are there. And that went deeper than just destroying the idols. He said, completely erase the names of these foreign gods. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty radical thing to say. Imagine God looking at me and looking at you and saying, okay, Bill, you know, you have some gods in your life. I want you to completely eradicate them. I want you to get rid of them totally. You give them too much credit. You give them too much time. You give them too much of this or too much of that. I want you to completely get rid of them. Now, why did God tell them to do that? Because he knew it was going to be hard enough for them in a strange land, let alone all these foreign gods. Plus, we have seen countless times over and over and over in the Old Testament where God and God alone is the only one who's to be worshipped. Many times we read that God wants no competition. I don't know about you, but I know that there are times that I allow the competition to win. There are times that I don't fight strong enough. But here's the problem. He doesn't want his people's affections divided. He doesn't want the struggle. He wants us to say, okay, enough is enough. I'll get rid of this part over here. And God, you're all that I want. And you're all that I need. Because he doesn't want the affection. Let me kind of illustrate this. Have you ever gone to a concert or to a game and you can't hear anything else? The concert was so loud, or the people around you were so loud, and you go up to them and you say, what? You want them to speak louder, or right here, talk right here, because you can't hear them. You can't understand what they're trying to say. I hear those voices, not in my head. I hear those voices when I sit down in my quiet time in the morning. Because every once in a while, I'll hear the voice that says, do you really want to do this? Do you realize, Bill, that if you shut this all off, you could sleep an extra hour and you wouldn't have to worry about it? Bill, you're wasting a whole lot of time sitting here reading this stuff. And I hear the voice of garbage. Not because that's the Holy Spirit, because that's the wrong spirit telling me what to do. There comes a point in time where you have to determine whom you will listen to. So along with a place of worship, they are also told how to worship. There are some really strange requirements as you go through here in the chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 17. Never sacrifice sick or defective cattle. Suppose a case arises in a local court, and you're looking at all this, and you're going, oh, wow, let's pass on all this stuff. In fact, I imagine some of you have been reading this, and you've gone, okay, I read that chapter. I moved on. I have tried really hard to read word for word, and man, it is really daunting to do that. But I'm going to skip over that because I want to answer the question, how? How can we worship in the manner we're supposed to worship? When the people of God approach God in worship, they were to approach him with their best. Paul David Tripp said on March 3rd, he said, or March 7th, he said, we should never give God what is left over, but rather offer him the first and the best of what he has provided. In other words, he doesn't want me doing this and then saying, okay, God, here. It's kind of like, and I used this in the first service, it's kind of like a Kleenex. You use a Kleenex and then you offer it to somebody else. You go, ooh, gross. Well, yeah, it's gross, but how many times do we do that to God? We do this over here, and then we say, okay, God, I'll give you my leftover time. I'll give you my leftover this or leftover that. But you see, what God doesn't want us to do is to give our leftovers to him. He wants our best. God doesn't want his people, for example, to go out in the field and find a sheep who has a broken leg or has a cut on it and said, oh, well, that's good enough for God. No. What God wants is to find the best and to bring it and offer it. And that's what he wants from me, and that's what he wants from you. He doesn't want you to give him hand-me-downs. He doesn't want our hand-me-down time. He doesn't want our hand-me-down labor. He wants us. And he wants us to give our best. Well, that brings us full circle, because we're going to go to chapter 28 in Deuteronomy, and we're almost done here, so please hang in there with me. We find ourselves having to take inventory of our lives. What's interesting here in chapter 28 is the first part of chapter 28, from verse 1 to verse 14, are God's blessings. And then, beginning in verse 15, we hit on God's curses for disobedience. So let's start with verse 1 of chapter 28. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands, down to verse 2, you will experience all these blessings. And then verses 3 through 6 tells us how we will be blessed. But if you have your Bible, follow with me, please, now. Verse 7. The Lord will conquer your enemies. Verse 8, the Lord will guarantee a blessing. Verse 11, the Lord will give you prosperity. And then verse 14, you must not turn away from any of the commands I am giving you today, nor follow any other gods or follow them. You see, the important thing for number one is God is not promising us health and wealth. That's not what it's talking about here. But it does say that if we are obedient to him, he will bless us. Now, watch what happens in verse 15. But if you refuse to listen. So you see, he's gone from blessings. If you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees I'm giving you, all these curses will come. Now, verses 16 through 19 are the exact opposite of verses 3 through 6. You see that? Verses 3 through 6, your town and your fields will be blessed. Down to verse 16, they will be cursed. In other words, with obedience comes blessing. With disobedience comes curses. You see the difference? And that's what God wants us to understand, is that He's not telling us and promising us, oh, you're going to have blessing on top of blessing on, you're going to have huge amounts of money. He's not saying that. He said, I will bless your life. Just follow me. In chapter 28, he also, like I said, he also tells us the disobedience. In chapter 29, Moses reminds them to renew the covenant with God. And verse 25 is the key to that. He said, this happened. When they say why, how many times have you asked why God has done something or something has happened to you? Here's what Moses told the Israelites when they complained about God not loving them and caring. He says, this happened because the people of the land abandoned the covenant the Lord, the God of their ancestors, made with them when he brought them out of Egypt. So God was saying, remember, remember, remember the covenant we made with God. And because we made that covenant, he will honor that covenant. But don't become disobedient. Be careful to obey. It's hard to obey. Ask your kids. Ask yourself. And yet, we must come to God with our spiritual eyes wide open. It's not enough to see physically. We must be able to see spiritually as well. Because you see, you can see and be blind at the same time. You can have perfect spiritual sight and be spiritually blind at the same time. And what God wants us to realize is that trusting him, being obedient to him, has rewards. Being disobedient to him has consequences. We live in that kind of world every day. So the challenge is that we will stay wholeheartedly with him. So here's my challenge for me, for you this week. Make a promise. Make a vow that you will be wholeheartedly obedient to him. And you're going to say, oh, that's impossible. Yes, it is. And that's why God says, I'll go with you. I'll help you keep that promise. You're not going alone. That's the important thing. We are not fighting this battle alone. Moses knew that. Moses tried to get his people, the people of Israel, to realize that you are not alone, that God's going to walk with you. And you know what? He says the same thing to us. You will not walk alone. You will not do this by yourself. You will not even do this on your own strength. But you have a promise from God that he will walk with you. Be obedient. Is it going to be hard? Yes, it will be hard, but it's worth it. So let's be obedient. Let's follow him. And then he's going to show us the path to take. Let's pray. Father, help us to be obedient to you. Help us not to stray, thinking we can do this all on our own, but instead help us to trust you, to lean on you like Moses has told the people of Israel time and time and time again, to follow you. Lord, you've given us your spirit to enable us to fight this battle. You've given us your spirit to have the fruit of the spirit of love, joy, peace, and so on. And we cannot do this on our own. The moment we think we got it, we're going to fall. Help us to trust you and trust you completely. Lord, go with us this week. Be with every person in this room as they go to work, they go to school, they go home, whatever they do. May everything we say and everything we do be in obedience to you and bring honor and glory to you. When we fall, help us to ask forgiveness and pick us back up and keep us going. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. And thank you so much for these folks. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you leave, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Go with him this week. Thanks for being with us today.